Thoroughway, Northwest London.
Morning.
Sunday, Yud Tammuz, 20th of June, or Rav Mordechai Weiss Shlita, Parsha theme. This week's Thoroughway has been sponsored by family Sayag, Leil Nishmas, Penina Soro, Bas Rachamim Velea, Olea Asholem.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So, as usual, I'd like to start off to thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity and being part of such a chushve program. And again, as I said, I repeat it every single time, even though you know it, but I have to say it again every single time. For me, it's an honor and it's a kovet, and every single time for me is an inspiration by its own. And I wish to have that for many, many more years, Bezos Hashem, we should be able to be part of this wonderful, wonderful program.
Amen.
With all of you in Einem, Admai Ves Meshunu. So this week is Parshas Bulak. Parshas Bulak, interesting, very interesting parsha. Tzadikim said it's a very interesting parsha. It happens to be, one of the Tzadikim once said, it's the only parsha that we have to believe the Torah. Because most other parshas, we witnessed ourselves, we were there. When it came to giving the Torah, we were there. There were 600,000 people, all the other Yidden were there. And they gave it over from generation to generation. This parsha is the only parsha which happened between two goyim, a conversation that happened between two goyim, and no one in the world knows that this thing happened besides for these two goyim. Obviously, if the Torah felt it important to write the whole Parsha's Bulak, which is a conversation between two goyim, which obviously there's something which is a lesson that we have to take out, and there's many, many lessons that we could take out from this Parsha. So we all know the famous Mishnah in Sechtes Uvos. The Mishnah says that there are two main yeshivas in Klal Yisroel. There's two yeshivas in the world, and each one has its own Rosh Yeshiva. One yeshiva is the yeshiva of Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu, he's a Rosh Yeshiva. And there's another yeshiva, which Bilam Hurusha, he is the Rosh Yeshiva of that yeshiva. So the Mishnah says, what are the conditions to be part of Avraham Avinu's yeshiva? So the Mishnah goes on to say a list of three things, which is probably not so easy to be mekayim. The first thing is ayin toive, have a good eye, and nefesh shfule, which probably means someone who is not greedy, and v'riach namiche, which means someone who is humble. So those are the three conditions to be part of Avraham Avinu's yeshiva. And the three conditions to be part of Bilam Marusha's yeshiva is the three opposite, which is ayin ru, have a bad eye, and riach kevoye, which basically means to be haughty, to be abelgave, and the nefesh rechol, which means to be greedy and to go through all your tavis. Obviously, it's a lot more difficult to be part of Romavini's yeshiva than Bilam Rush's yeshiva, but it's something that we have to work on, is to work on these three things to become part of Romavini's yeshiva. So I'd like to focus on one of these three things, which is something which is less spoken about, which is the inyan of Ayin Toive and Ayin Ru. These two opposites. You have on the one hand you have a good eye, and on the other hand you have an Ayin Ru. So if the Toive says that these three things it's the three best things a person could have, the three best malice a person could have, then it's something that we have to focus on. To have an Ayin Toive, to have a good eye, is something which could come to good use for us. So the question is, why is it such an important thing? I understand why it's important to be humble, and I understand why it's important not to be greedy, not to go after all, you know, just to go after all the person, whatever person sees and wants. But why is it so important to have a good eye? Why is it so bad to have a bad eye? So this is something I'd like to focus on, Be'ezras Hashem. We find in this inyan of ayin hore a very, very powerful thing. Very, very powerful thing. The Rabbi Yonah says that ayin hara is not just something when a person has a bad eye in something else, which means he sees another person's good fortune and he looks at it with a bad eye and he thinks to himself, it's a shame that he has it, I wish I would have it. It says, Rabbi Yehuda says, this has a physical power, has a physical energy. The fact that you looked at someone else's good fortune with a bad eye has a physical energy that Chulila could destroy and could bring havoc upon the other person's good fortune. And the same thing that the Chazon Ish also clearly says it, he states it in the Sfurim, he says that there's a physical power, a physical energy, when a person looks at something else with a bad eye, has a physical koyach to chulila v'chas, to bring havoc upon the good things that Yanim has. But I once said, Moedi Gazach, that people know this thing. But what they are not now aware of is that we know that midat tovah merib, which means that just like any bad thing, any power that a bad thing has to bring, is when it comes to midat tovah, then it's even more so. So if the Chazal tell us and if the Rishonim tell us that when someone looks upon someone else with a bad eye, then that has an energy of bringing a bad energy upon Yanim, upon the other person, then midat tovah merib, when it comes to the good thing, then it's even more so. Which means that when a person looks at someone else's good things with a good eye, and he's happy for the other person's good fortune, then that has a tremendous power to bring a positive energy and a positive result for the other person, that he should, his good fortune should grow even more so. I once said a story, the Baba Baruf, Zechon Leruche, he was once walking down the street in Borough Park, and there was a building that was in the middle of being built, that belonged to a different kehille in a different community, which is also in Borough Park. And they were building, in the middle of building, a huge building. And he stopped whilst he was walking. He stopped there with his, he was walking with his people there, and he stopped there for a while, and he started looking around the whole building, looking backwards and forwards, and looking through all the rooms. And I said, wow, have a look, such a beautiful building. They're building another thing. And his people who were accompanying him were very surprised, because he wasn't that type of person to be interested in physical things and, you know, buildings and the way it looks like the building. So they asked him afterwards, why did he find it so important to stop and to focus on this other person's building? So he told them this word that we just said now. He said, the Mishnah says that when you look upon someone else with a bad eye, then it brings bad upon you, not upon the other person. So Midat Tovah Merib says, never, there's so many people nowadays who they look at other people's good fortune with a bad eye. He said, I'd like to be one of those people to try and balance it out and try and bring a good eye upon other person's good fortune. So that's why I especially looked at other person's good fortune. I was so happy for them, for this other community who were building such a beautiful building. And I looked at it with a good eye, and I was able to bring a positive energy upon the other community. Now this is something, this concept of looking at someone else's good thing with a good eye is a tremendous, tremendously powerful, powerful tool when it comes to all areas of life, and I'd like to focus on a few of them. And that is, when you look at someone else's good thing, and you look at the good in other people, it has a physical power to magnify and to bring a positive energy upon the other person, which actually brings out the good from the other person and brings it to the fore, to the extent that even if the other person himself was not aware of what good things he had, this will come to the fore and he will all of a sudden notice his good manners that he has. And I had the good fortune of hearing from two of probably one of the biggest people in outreach nowadays, and they both said basically essentially the same thing. One of them is my grandfather, Zangrit Nishtak, the Milwaukee Rebbe. So he is in America. He has had this chus of being mekarev many, many hundreds of families to Yiddishkeit. And I once asked him, what is your secret? How are you able to do it? How are you able to bring people who were completely unaffiliated and you're able to bring them back? So he says one thing, he said one line. He says, when I see a person, I see his neshama. When I see a person who usually most of the people were, when he finds them, are not in a very good place. He had some people who were in the worst of the worst. They were doing things which other people wouldn't even look at them. He says, when I see a person, I immediately see his neshama. I immediately see his malice, his good things, his good virtues that he has. And just by looking at them, and just by seeing their good things within them, this itself, and I look at it with the eye, and toiva with a good eye, this brings it to the fore. And all of a sudden, they themselves start to notice that they themselves are good people, they're not such bad people. It's because as long as people look at them as bad people, then they themselves do not even know that they are good. But when one person comes along and he sees the good things which they have within them, then all of a sudden they themselves start noticing these good things. He said a story from his father. He said his father, who was also doing Kiruv, he came to America even before the war. He said a person, a particular rabbi, once came to his community and he saw that he was so matzliach and doing Kiruv and people loved him so much. So he asked my great-grandfather and he asked him, "What's your secret?" So he said, "My secret is that I love the people in my community." So this rabbi thinks to himself, "Wow, that's a good tool. I think I will start doing the same thing in my community." So my great-grandfather turns to him and says, "No, my dear, you did not understand what I just said. I truly love them. I really do love them. It's not just that I have a tool that I use to love the people. I truly, honestly love them, and therefore that's my secret, because I love them and they feel that I love them. And they see that, and they notice that I see their good things within them. That brings out the good things." And I heard it from numerous of his people who said the same thing. He said the reason why they found themselves was because they felt, when the rabbi was looking at them, they felt that the rabbi was looking through them. Not at them, but looking through them. And he was seeing the good things, and that itself brought it to the fore. The same thing, there's another very, very great person called Reb Yitzchak David Grossman. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. He lives in Migdal Eimek, and he has also had the tremendous chus of being mekarev many, many, many hundreds of, perhaps even thousands of people throughout all his institutions that he has. And he was, and he recalls in one of his recent books that came out, he recalls that when he started off as a boy from Meir Shurim, which is not quite, you know, your typical outreach place. It's a place where they're very, very, you know, quite close-minded. And he decided he's going to go out to do some outreach. See, the way he describes the way it went down, the Lelev Rebbe told him that he should go to Migdal Eimek. He had never heard of this place before, and it was a very, very rough town. A town that there was no Yiddishkeit whatsoever. There was only the crime and the thing that was going on there. He had to take a few buses until he got to this place. He had to ask people where it is. He got to this place, Migdal Eimek. He asked someone where the yeshiva is. And they looked at him with two eyes and says, "My dear, there's no yeshiva in this town. There's a disco if you want. There's a disco." So he had no idea what this disco means. He thought this was probably perhaps a different certain type of yeshiva. So he ended up walking, he asked him directions to the disco, and he comes into the disco, and he had a slight surprise. He wasn't quite expecting to find whatever he found. To make a long story short, he sat down there, and in the disco, and he simply sat down, and someone came over to him and asked him if he's looking for something. So he said, "Yeah, he's looking for neshamas." And to make a long story short, he was able to transform the place, a city which was completely, completely unaffiliated, completely fry, had nothing to do with Yiddishkeit, and now there's not even one single shop in town which is not Shomer Shabbos. Every single shop in town now is Shomer Shabbos, and he was able to transform it from a place which was the lowest when it came to crime. He was able to pick it up to one of the best neighborhoods in the whole of Eretz Yisroel. So when he came back to Yerushalayim to meet his father for the first time, his father asked him, "What did you find when you went to Migdal Eimek?" So he says, "When I went to Migdal Eimek, I found beautiful, beautiful neshamas who are waiting to be polished. I found beautiful diamonds who are waiting to be polished." And that was his secret. That's why he was able to be mekarev of so many thousands of people. That's because when he saw a person, he did not see a rough person. He saw a rough diamond which is waiting to be polished. And the people felt it. When people feel that you look through them and not at them, then it brings them out to the fore. Someone just told me recently, I can't remember the details of the story, I have to find it out, that the Baba Rebbe, Reb Shloim Bababa, when he came after the war, and the whole America, the whole Yiddishkeit was in ruins, and he opened up his community, he opened up a shul, I think it was in Manhattan at the time. It was in Manhattan, and it was at a certain point, he was walking through the street, walking down the street with his son, Rem Naftolcha Babav, and he noticed a person there who he recognized from home. He was a person from Babav, and unfortunately, after having gone through the Holocaust, he had thrown off everything of Yiddishkeit, and he was sitting there on the park bench with nothing. He weren't able to tell in the Bechlal that he was a Yid, but he immediately noticed him, and he remembered that he was a chazan. Back in Poland, in Galicia, he was a chazan, and he had a beautiful voice. So he asked him, whatever his name was, "Yitzchak, would you like to come back and be chazan by Asen Shul, by Asen Basmeldish?" So he just ignores and says, "No, my Rebbe, I have nothing to do with Yiddishkeit anymore. I've thrown everything off, and it's history." He didn't give up. The next time he went down the street again, and the next time he asked him again. And at one occasion, he was sitting there, it was on Shabbos, And as the Rebbe was walking past him, he took out a cigarette and he lit the cigarette in front of his face and blew the smoke into his face. And despite all that, the Baba Rebbe still continues, says, please, Yitzhak, I'd like to have to be mechaved you with the Breitel, I'd like to be mechaved you with the Omid, you should daven for an Omid again. And this person says, Rebbe, how could he even be mechaved me? Did you not see that I just smoked the cigarette into your face? So he said, Yitzhak, it was not Yitzhak who was smoking the cigarette. It was the Nazis who were smoking the cigarette. Yitzhak is still here. He is still intact. He hasn't been ruined yet. And that message made such an impact on him. And to make a long story short, I heard from a father-in-law, he knows the Einiklich of these people, the Ingelat, who were walking around with the whole Chassidish Levish, with Stramel, long pious, white socks, the whole thing. And that was because of this one message that he gave him. Because he gave him over the message that when I'm looking at you, I'm not looking at you, I'm not looking at your outward looks, I'm looking at your inside, I'm looking at your pnimius. This thing is so important, especially when it comes to the Indian of chinuch, of being mechanech our children. Being mechanech our children is such an important point that whenever we're mechanech our children, someone just told me recently, he says, he is being mechanech the future gedoy lehador. That's who he has in his family. He has no idea who's going to grow up to be big and who's not going to grow up, but he knows one thing. He's got precious, precious diamonds. I once heard from a big mechanech, and he said such an unbelievable word. He runs a huge, huge moisad with hundreds of talmidim. He says very often he has to give them, he has to rebuke them, he has to give them, you know, has to tell them, give them a telling off. But he always, before he's about to give a telling off for a child, especially when they did something which is very, very serious, and he's about to give them off in a very, very strong way, in a harsh way, he always stops for a moment, and he thinks one good thing about this person, one good thing about this child. And he thinks it totally honestly, and then whilst he's looking at this child, he only focuses on that good thing that this child has. Whilst he is talking to him and whilst he's telling him off, he's only focusing on thinking about this good thing of the child. Because he said, if whilst he's talking to him, he's seeing in front of him such a beautiful child who has such beautiful manners and such beautiful talents, then it comes from a place of love, and the child feels it, and then he's able to have an impact on the child. If you tell off the child whilst you're thinking negatively about him, then that's not going to work. So just simply by seeing the good in the child that brings out the good of the child, having an ayin toiv on the child that brings out the good of the child that he himself is not even aware. I once heard a story, I can't remember the details of the story, I have to find it, that there was once a person who came collecting for a particular institution, came collecting to a very, very wealthy person, a well-to-do person, a very successful person, and he tells him that I'm going collecting for this particular institution, and he takes out his checkbook and he makes out an extremely large amount of money, a huge, huge check, and he was very surprised, he wasn't expecting such a large donation. So he asked him, why are you giving me such a large donation? He says, I'll tell you. He says, when I was a child, I learned in this particular institution. I learned in this moisad. He says, I was not a very well-behaved child, to say the very least. He says, I was such a troublesome child. I did not stop even for a moment to make trouble. From day one, from when I came into school till I left, I did non-stop trouble from beginning to end. And you could imagine that I went flying from one school to the other school, from one teacher to the next teacher. And of course, every teacher at the beginning of the year tries his best, try to deal with me. And I always decided that just as they were trying to be nice to me, I decided I'm going to show them who I am. They think that I'm nice, I will teach them. At one occasion, I came to this particular school, and this teacher started teaching me. And I decided I'm going to show him exactly who I am. And I started doing trouble. From the very second he opened his mouth, I did not even give him one chance to say him one word. I did trouble and trouble and trouble. And went on for one day, for another day, and for another day. It went on for quite a while. At some point, he sent home reports to all the kids to tell the parents of how well they're doing. And I was sure, as usual, that my report will not be something glowing. And I come home, and I see, I used to come home, and my father used to give me a who knows what. And I was expecting the same thing. I come home, and my father gives me a smile, and says, well, I'm so happy to hear that you're being successful in school. So he says, really? He says, yeah, I got back a report. And the report was going, you know, says the talents of each boy. It says, your talent is, you're extremely and extremely consistent with what you do. You're very, very consistent with what you do. You stick to your things. And the parents, all of a sudden, they looked at me with a different respect. They respected me. They have a certain talent, which they didn't even know that existed until now. says, that was for me a changing point in my life. Because until then, all I heard about myself was I'm a bad person, I'm a nothing and I can't be successful. And all of a sudden, someone started to know there's something good things about me, I have some good talents. And I decided I'm going to utilize these talents, and from then on, I became a changed person. My entire success that I have today is all because of that mechanech, when I learned in that school. That was why I gave such a loud donation. So that brings out this point that simply by looking at the good of other people, then you're able to change them for the better. And the same thing also, there's one thing people very often forget. We talk about outreach, you talk about chinuch, being mechanic for children. But the same thing is when it comes to yourself. There's so many people who are walking around the world and they have negative thoughts about themselves. They view themselves as failures, they view themselves as unloved. Very often it could be because of previous things that happened to them in the past. But they go around and they lack the self-esteem, they lack the courage, and because of that, they really are not successful, because if someone thinks about themselves as a failure, then he's going to be a failure. A person has to take a few moments and has to stop to look at his own good things he has with the Ayin Toive, because the Ayin Toive has a tremendous power to give a positive energy to whatever you look at. So if you're looking at unaffiliated people, you're going to be able to bring them out. If you look at children, you're going to be able to bring them out. If you look at yourself, you're also going to be able to bring your good things out. Look at your good malice you have, and it's nothing bad about thinking about the good things you have, because when you see all the good things, all the good talents, the good virtues that have, the good things you've done, it brings you to the fore, it builds up your self-esteem, it builds up your self-respect, and then you're able to be successful in life. There's one more thing which I think could be extremely useful, this Inyan of Ayin Toive. And that is when it comes to certain circumstances that the person goes through in his life. So very often you have people who are, by nature, they are optimistic, and then you have people who, by nature, are pessimistic. There are those people who always have a black outlook in life. Whatever they see, whatever they look, they always think the worst. And then on the other hand, you have people who always look for the best, always see the best. Someone who always, in whatever situation, always is able to see the silver lining in the cloud, he actually has a power of giving positive energy to this situation, and it's able to transform this circumstances, is able to transform it and make it for the better. And the Sfarim say that simply by looking for the good things in every situation, that itself is called Hamtukas Adinim, it's called being sweetening the harsh decrees. Because when a person is in a harsh decree and he's simply by seeing the silver lining, he's able to transform it. I had an uncle who lived in Eretz Yisrael, his name was Reb Eli Rot. He was a tremendous, famous person. He was the Gabbai of Reb Shlomko of Zvil. He was an unbelievable, unbelievable person. He a person who he went through in his life what no other person has gone through in his life. He was, unfortunately, towards the end of his life, he was ill, he was blind. He didn't have a penny to his name. He lived in a small, tiny little hole in somewhere in the middle of Mayashurim. He had a wife who was not completely with it. She was mentally ill, and he never had any children. He went through anything that a person could possibly go through. But he was the happiest person in the universe. So my grandfather once told me, he went in to visit him. He said he went in to visit him, he was a nephew. In Eretz Yisrael, that was towards the end of his life. And here he was, this person who is blind, he's ill, no money to his name, no children, a mental wife. And to top it all off, he had gone down the stairs and he had fallen over and he broke his hands and feet. And he was in a cast and he could hardly move. And he was glowing with happiness. So my grandfather asked him, he says, "Uncle, could you tell me why are you so happy?" I mean, he didn't quite, he said, "You have nothing to be happy about." So Reb Eli Rot told him, he says, why do you not understand? He says, you know that I'm blind. He says, I was walking down the stairs. I could so easily have fallen down and crashed my head and broken my head, and then I would have died immediately. And Hashem made such a chesed to me that I only broke my hands and feet. I didn't break my head. So is that not good enough reason to be happy? So here you are, a person who everything is going wrong in his life, and still, despite all that, he's able to see the silver lining. There's an unbelievable letter written by a great tzaddik called Reb Mendel of Vitebsk. Reb Mendel of Vitebsk is one of the disciples of the Mezritcher Maggid. He lived a long time ago. He was in the generation of the Mezritcher Maggid. He lived in Russia. He left to Eretz Yisrael. He moved to Eretz Yisrael with a whole group of Hasidim. He moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he left over most of his Hasidim behind in Russia. And of course, they couldn't handle without having a leader, because they were used to always going into him with all the problems. So they used to write to him letters and tell them all about the things that are going on in their life, all the difficulties that they're going through, all the prosecution from the government and all that, all the suffering that they're going through. So he wrote them back a letter, and he said, I'm going to write to you one letter which is going to solve all your problems. You will no longer have to send me all your problems. I will write to you one solution to all the problems. So he writes to them as follows. He says, we know when a person thinks positive, then, as we said before, he connects himself, it's called the Olam HaChesed, to the world of Chesed. He said, if he thinks positive, then all of his energy, when a person, in order to be alive, he has called a unique, he has to be yonik from, there's an energy which comes down constantly from above, which gives them, which sustains him. Where is that energy coming from? So the person could decide himself where he wants that energy to come from. If he thinks positive, then he's bringing down this energy from the Olam HaChesed, from the world of goodness. And that brings down goodness upon him. Whereas if the person is pessimistic and he has a black outlook in life, then what will happen will be that he will bring down this energy from the world of Chalila, darkness, which Chalila will not be good. So he said, the advice I'm giving you is that always in every situation, just think positively, and then you will connect yourself with this world of lightness, with this world of Chesed, and this is the energy that's going to come upon you. So this is the same concept when a person has Ayin Toive. He looks at the good. Every situation has a good, and so even though it looks bad, it looks black, but it definitely has a silver lining to it. So the person focuses upon the silver lining, then he's able to magnify, and the silver lining takes over the whole picture, and he's able to see only the good. The Bilam Arusha, he had this koyach of Ayin Ra. He had this koyach, he wanted to be to bring bad upon the Eden, and the way he wanted to do it, Rashi brings down, is he wanted to put a bad eye on them. He wanted to view them and see the bad things within them and focus on the bad things, and that will magnify the bad things within them. What the Rebbeinu Shlomo did, he made a nest that he should not be able to see anything bad going on with them. So the Pusik says, Lo Hibit Uven BeYakiv, was not able, Rashi brings down, he was not able to see the Uven, the bad things in Yaakov, so therefore he wasn't able to put this bad thing upon them. Avraham Avinu, he was the other way around, he was the other opposite. He was Mekarev Eden to the Rebbeinu Shloim, he was Av Hamoyim Goyim, Avraham Megayres Vanushim. How was he able to be Megayres so many people? That was because he had the Ayin Toive. Whenever he saw a person, he saw the person for the good within him, and that brought out the good within him. The same person has to know one thing. Whilst you're looking at other people's good parts within them, at the same time, the Ribbono Shel Olam does midah keneged midah. So whilst you're looking at someone else's good things, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is looking at you with a good eye, and he's seeing only the good things. And Rashi says in the Pusik, Lohibet Uva BeYakov, that it refers to the Ribbono Shel Olam. When the Ribbono Shel Olam looks at the Klal Yisrael, he does not see any bad things, he does not see all the bad deeds that we do. He sees only the good within us, and that is what transforms us and makes us a better person. I'd like to finish off with a very frightening vote, but I think it's kedai to mention it. The Chasam Sofer mentions it in Masechtas Shabbos. He says that if a person is moirid demura saludam kusha, that if a person sheds tears, if chulida v'chasa, a righteous person left the world and he sheds tears, then he will merit that his kids will not, his young kids will chulida not die in his lifetime. So what's the connection between these two things? Chasam Sofer says, shomati mas, that's what he says. I heard a story that there was a person who unfortunately lost, Rahman al-Islam, a child, a talented child, a righteous child, at a very young age. And he was inconsolable. They couldn't console him. He was heartbroken. At some point, he fell asleep, and he had a dream. Chasam Sofer writes it in Loshas. He said he had a dream, and he saw his child growing up, and as he became an adult, he saw that Chalil v'Chas, unfortunately, he left the Yiddish Aderich, and he was so heartbroken at that, that he saw, unfortunately, his child going off the derech. And when he woke up, he was happy. He was already, that was for him a consoler. He says, at least his child left the world when he was still righteous, rather than growing up to become, to chalila chas, leave the derech. Zuk the chasm soife, what's pshat in this story? He said, because how could it be that a child who comes from a very solid, good family, his chalila chas should happen, that he should, unfortunately, leave the derech when he's older? He says, it could only come from one thing. If this person always, whenever he saw other people, he always saw the black, the darkness in other people. So a person like that, it would have an effect on his children. So this person, someone who he sheds tears on a righteous person leaves the world, which means that he's able to see the good in other people, he will be sure that his kids will not leave the derech. So I think, what is the oimik of the Chasam Sofer? I think what the Chasam Sofer means is the thing we just said now. Someone who has the power that whenever he looks at another person, he's always able to see right through him and see all the good parts, then he's able to magnify and bring out his good talents. Then the same thing when it comes to his own children. When he's going to look at his children, he's going to see the good things, then immediately he's going to be able to bring out the goodness within them. And then they will take a grow up to be. Then he could be sure that they will grow up to go in the right direction. Someone is always pessimistic, always seeing the black in other people, and always seeing the black in his own children. He doesn't see the good parts, he only sees the bad things that they do, then they will not grow up to be good. So the Chasam Sofer finishes off with a haftuch. He's giving a promise that the person who will constantly see the good in other people, then he could be sure that none of his kids will leave the Yiddish Aderech, and none of his kids will die in his lifetime as young children. Because if a person is able to constantly see the good in other people, then he can be sure that his children will grow up to be good, and they will grow up to have a nice, healthy, long life. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo should help that we should be zoiche to be the emes talmidim of Avraham Avinu, and not chavile talmidim of Bilam Urusha. We should be zoiche to have a real ayin toive. Always, wherever we go, we should give out this positive energy, whether we're looking at other people, whether we're looking at friends, whether we're looking at our spouses, whether we're looking at our children. Wherever we go, people are able to feel this gravity. They gravitate towards someone who is going around with this positive energy within them. You should constantly go around with this positive energy and bring lightness to the world and bring out the toiv, the goodness within everyone and the goodness within every situation. And with that, we'll be Hashem be zoicha to the Bias Goel Tzedek and Ha'er V'Emayni. Oh my God.